we go. Taking you home on a Tuesday with the Sports Rush, your daily local sports picks 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch. We've got you connected on our Parkview Sports Medicine text line 46862. Also, we are on Twitter at Brett Rump Sports, at Caleb Hatch. You can check out the show at Sports Rush 1380. Or the station Twitter is at 1380 The Fan. Coming up on the show, big show today. Dylan Sin is going to join us. Of course, the big news of the day is Notre Dame has lost head coach Brian Kelly to LSU. We'll talk to Dylan Sin about what he's learned as far as how it all came down and what is ahead for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Also on the way this hour, the Big Ten Championship is all set down in Indianapolis for this weekend. It is a big game on Saturday night, but there's plenty of things to do down in Indy surrounding the big game, even if you don't have a ticket. So we're going to give you a chance to not only win some tickets to the Big Ten Championship Fan Fest, but we're going to talk to someone from the Indy Sports Corp about what to expect when you get down there, and maybe it's something you take the kids to. It sounds like it's a fun event downtown. And you know, Indy puts together great events, and the events are so much more inclusive than just the game itself. And that's really what this Big Ten Fan Fest presented by Dr. Pepper is all about. And so we'll get some of the details with Brett Kramer coming up at 4:35. Also on the way, hour number two, Dustin DePirak. He's going to join us to talk Indiana basketball. The Hoosiers getting set to take on the Syracuse Orange. That game tonight, you could say it's kind of like all of Indiana versus Tin Caps broadcasters. Because I think every Tin Caps broadcaster that has ever been in a headset, other than Mike Maz and myself, it's been somebody that's been a product of Syracuse. It just seems that way. It's not really the fact. But, of course, John Nolan, a proud graduate of Syracuse and their broadcasting program, the Newhouse, I think it's Newhouse School of Broadcasting at Syracuse. So I do want this. If Indiana wins the game tonight, everybody tweet at John G. Nolan on Twitter. Just send your condolences.
Underscores between the
G, around the G.
And yeah, around the G. That makes it simple.
Yeah, John G. Nolan underscores before and after the G. Make sure you get it to the right guy. But send your condolences. If Indiana beats Syracuse, please tweet your condolences to John underscore G underscore Nolan on Twitter. 46862, what do you got on your mind today? What are your thoughts about Brian Kelly making the jump to LSU? You know, I thought about this, and it was a little surprising when we heard the word last night, Caleb. This really started to leak just about the time the show was ending yesterday. All we had when the show ended was that LSU was targeting Brian Kelly as their next head coach. We didn't know that not only were they targeting him, but I think they'd already completed interviews, discussions, negotiations, and it had a contract deal already worked out. Because within a couple of hours, word was out that Brian Kelly was leaving Notre Dame and going to LSU. And after it settled in for me, I'm not that surprised. I'm like, where is all the shock in this? Why is there so much shock in this? Because Brian Kelly has flirted before with leaving Notre Dame. Sometimes you have to cash in when your value is at the highest. And I mean, you know, everybody say, well, look what he's done at Notre Dame. Well, that's exactly why LSU wanted him. If he was 5-6 at Notre Dame, it's not like you're going to have a bunch of schools calling your agent, seeing if you'd be interested in coming and taking over their program. So you've got to strike when the iron is hot. The iron is hot right now for Brian Kelly. He's going to cash in. He's going to get a job that he considers to be a better job than the Notre Dame job. Notre Dame fans might debate that, but it is the SEC. It's got probably a more rabid fan base than you've got even at Notre Dame. Even though the Notre Dame fan base is national, people down at LSU, I mean, they eat, breathe, sleep football. I mean, LSU football is total king down there. And so anything the football program wants, the football program gets. That's caused them some problems in the last decade or so because the football program became more powerful than ethics, than you know, than a lot. And so Brian Kelly will go down there, take over that program. He'll be paid very handsomely. He'll get a significant raise over what he made at Notre Dame, although we don't know that exact figure because Notre Dame doesn't release what they're paying their coaches. It is assumed it was somewhere, I think, in the $6.5 to $8 million range, I'm guessing, just to be competitive. But it's not like Brian Kelly hasn't flirted with the idea of leaving before. And when you have a program that, first of all, will do anything to be successful in football, if the coach says, we need new facilities, by gosh, you're going to get new facilities. If the coach says, I need a private plane, you're going to get a private plane. If the coach says, I need $10 million plus to come and coach there, you're going to get $10 million plus to come and coach there. That's just the way it works at LSU. And I'm sure for Brian Kelly, his ego was stroked quite well, and he decided that that's the job he wants right now. And I don't know why there's an outrage by some people that he's bailing on Notre Dame. You don't have a choice. When somebody comes and offers you a job and says, we want you to take this job, here's what we want, you're either going to take it or you're passing. And if you try to delay the process, you're only increasing the chances that someone else becomes available or becomes interested, and another agent gets in the middle of it and says, hey, our guy would be interested in that. Like, what if an Urban Meyer all of a sudden stepped up and said, I want to coach LSU? Now you got a decision you've got to make. So the opportunity was there for Brian Kelly. I know it's probably not the best situation for Notre Dame, their fans, their players. But players transfer all the time. In fact, the NCAA now has made it ridiculously easy for players to transfer. They can even play three or four games and then still transfer and be eligible the next year. Why can't a coach leave? I think for Notre Dame, rather than hate the guy, thank him. Because how long was it after Lou Holtz that Notre Dame searched for someone to somewhat save a sinking program? It was losing its national relevance. It wasn't attracting the top talent. Brian Kelly brought a lot of swagger back to Notre Dame, and I think he should be applauded and thanked for that. If it's his choice to leave and go to another job, maybe part of that should be on Notre Dame. Look in the mirror. What are your facilities like compared to SEC schools? What is the contract like? What kind of money do you pay? What kind of benefits do you provide? I'm not going to come on here and be all anti-Brian Kelly over this situation.
Well, I think ultimately it comes down to money. And it's crazy that what he's getting paid is the same as Mel Tucker now at MSU with that new contract. And that was enough to lure him away from Notre Dame. I think that's the part that's kind of scary for college football as a whole, is that, you know, these contracts keep growing and growing and growing, and guys are leaving schools left in the lurch before bowl season, as opposed to, you know, having some sort of negotiating window after the season. And I think that's something that you would think the schools will kind of revisit to protect themselves from these types of situations going forward.
Here's something that Notre Dame fans have to consider. That job is a better job today and will attract a better candidate because of Brian Kelly. In other words, he's leaving a program behind that top name coaches may want to come in and take over.
Yeah, he's leaving it better than when he found it. No one's going to argue that. And he did the same at Cincinnati. He did the same at Central Michigan when he left there. He did the same at Grand Valley State, building a powerhouse program at D2. I mean, he's won everywhere he's been. And I understand fans are upset about his exit. And I mean, he did the same with Cincinnati, so I guess we shouldn't be that surprised, right? But he found a better opportunity. He probably thought he had done all he could at Notre Dame, and that's honestly hard to argue with. Yeah, he didn't win a national championship, but he got to two college football playoff games, a BCS national championship game. It seemed like they had plateaued. I mean, yes, they're having success, but it didn't feel like they could get to that next level, right?
They were kind of stuck in achieving maybe their potential, and their potential not earning national championships. I mean, this year, they have not underachieved.
Oh, they've overachieved by a wide margin. I mean, going into the season, if you would have asked any Notre Dame fan that, hey, you're going to have a graduate transfer quarterback, you're going to have a lot of turnover on the offensive line.
And starting freshman in the offensive line.
Yeah, a starting left tackle was a freshman to start the season. If you'd have asked any Notre Dame fan going into the season, and you know, they would be thrilled if you told them they're going to win 10-plus games, you know, end up winning 11 pending a bowl game.
Nobody thought this team was a contender for a college football playoff spot.
No.
The best I heard was 10-2.
Yeah, and that seemed like a stretch even going into the season before we saw how much they struggled early. I mean, 9 or 10 wins seemed like the ceiling, and they exceeded that.
So where does Notre Dame go for their next coach? Is it a possibility that Urban Meyer could make a return to the campus at Notre Dame and take over the program?
He's already kind of shot it down. I don't think with the baggage that Urban comes with, he would be a good fit. Also, he'd have to leave his NFL gig, which I'm sure is paying really well.
The cozy thing about the NFL gig, no recruiting.
Yeah.
Because what you don't realize about college coaches is the amount of time that they are on the road recruiting. Mm-hmm. It is a brutal schedule. I mean, you'll have games on Saturday. You'll do your walkthroughs on Friday. Friday night, you're shooting off to someplace in the country to go watch a recruit and then meet with the family afterwards. You might get back in the wee hours of the morning and then breakfast the next morning. I mean, college coaches, what they go through behind the scenes with recruiting trips and just recruiting in general, it's insane. And when you take that off the plate, it makes it much easier. It relieves a lot of the stress. I mean, now you got to focus on football, the X's and O's. And so for Urban Meyer, it's probably an easier situation for him. What about going the same path that they went to get Brian Kelly? What about calling on Cincinnati and Luke Fickell? Is he a possibility as the next coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish?
He's a possibility. I think the two names to keep in mind first, and I get that everyone's also throwing out Matt Campbell out there, but to me, the two names you have to start with, because a lot of the recruiting class that they have coming in next year that's currently ranked top five according to most recruiting sites, Marcus Freeman, the defensive coordinator, Tommy Reese, the offensive coordinator. You know, what they do, you know, whether they follow Brian Kelly to LSU, you got to remember LSU courted Freeman in the offseason. Notre Dame actually won that bidding war last offseason to come to Notre Dame, which was a major surprise and a major win for Notre Dame's recruiting. And that's panned out so far with some of the guys he's signed. But those are the names I think you have to start with, because what they do will kind of send the dominoes in motion if there's a further coaching search at play here.
I'm having trouble with my computer, Caleb, but I know the numbers have been put out by LSU as far as what the contract is. And it's a little misleading because it was put out as kind of base salary, but he has all of these bonuses tied in. And sometimes you get bonuses, like if you show up for 9 of the 12 games, you'll get a bonus, you know. And so there, and then you get like, you know, millions of dollars to do a coach's show or something like that. I mean, usually what happens is the university doesn't necessarily put all of the money right out front on the table. It's usually something where a lot of the money gets put into different pools and pockets. And so you don't really know what the total number is. And that's why you're hearing people throwing out numbers that, you know, it was close to 10 million. Some are saying it was close to 15 million. I don't know how you calculate all the bonuses, the structure of the base pay plus bonuses, and figure out what exactly is going to make at LSU. I was trying to look at what LSU put out as a figure, and for some reason my computer's not working right now. But you have to wonder, is college football setting a pay scale here that is going to at some point collapse? I mean, you mentioned yesterday, Lincoln Riley, the deal he got from USC. I mean, is there anything more they could have thrown in on that deal for him to go to USC? I mean, anybody would have taken that gig. And it's a guy that was vulnerable to leave Oklahoma because I don't think he was happy about Oklahoma joining the SEC. They pay him an outrageous amount of money, give him a private plane for family travel and everything else. I mean, he got a cozy gig out at USC. Brian Kelly gets a great gig down at LSU. And I really can't blame him. Coming up next, we're going to talk more about it because we've got Dylan Sin from the Journal-Gazette who covers the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. He'll join us. He'll give us the latest because athletic director, Jack Swarbrick, was speaking to the media earlier today, and we'll find out exactly what was said because he addressed things like the interim coach, the coaching search, who might be candidates, are they internal or external? All that stuff came out today. We'll talk to Dylan Sin about it and find out all the latest as Brian Kelly leaves Notre Dame. It's a Sports Rush. It is a Tuesday edition on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. A lot of texts coming in on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862 regarding the move of Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame to take over at LSU. It says, unless he had to make up his mind right away, he could have waited until after Notre Dame's bowl game. There was no possible way that LSU was going to wait that long for Brian Kelly to make a decision. Too much time with recruits, with transfer portal guys, because right now is important because this is where you got guys hitting the transfer portal, guys that have just finished their season. Spencer Rattler says he's entering the transfer portal, leaving Oklahoma. So you've got to get a coach that can get in there. And so, yes, I do think he had to make up his mind rather quickly. Brian Kelly is showing his true colors, not for leaving, but how he's done it. Assistants didn't know. He was in a recruit's house when it broke. It says, so we're assistants. Obviously, he knew he was recruiting last night, then an 11-minute meeting this morning. Well, one thing is, once the word came out, I don't think Notre Dame was really comfortable with him spending any more time with the current players than he had to say his goodbye. And so I think it was kept pretty short based on the university and not necessarily Brian Kelly. Freeman would be a smooth transition. That's who the players and the alumni want. Isn't it interesting? Marcus Freeman, he was taking some shots early this season, first couple of games, at like, what's wrong with the Notre Dame defense? But all of a sudden now the defense has been fantastic, and a lot of people are really high on Marcus Freeman. Let's find out who might be the next coach at Notre Dame. We'll get the take from Dylan Sin. He's joining us now on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Good afternoon, Dylan.
Good afternoon, Brett. Always glad to be on with you.
How about this? Got a big story that breaks on a Monday that we weren't expecting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone was expecting this except maybe Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame, who said that he had sensed some restlessness from Brian Kelly in the last few months here. He said he wasn't really surprised that Kelly was leaving. It just kind of seen enough over the last couple of months to know that it seemed like Kelly's time at Notre Dame was winding down. For the rest of us who don't work with Kelly every day, it was a surprise. It was a significant shock, especially with Notre Dame still in contention for a national championship this season.
Is this a look-in-the-mirror moment for Notre Dame as far as what could we have done different?
Swarbrick was asked that question multiple times in different ways this morning, and he said the answer was no. He said there were never any conversations he had with Brian Kelly where Brian Kelly expressed, I want X, and Jack Swarbrick said, well, we can't give you X. He said that never happened with him. He said they were always very accommodating of the things that Kelly wanted in terms of facilities and compensation for himself and for his assistants. So they don't feel that it is a look-in-the-mirror moment for Notre Dame. They think Kelly just wanted a new challenge. And as Swarbrick said, 12 years is a long time to be at Notre Dame in that kind of job. Now, that's Swarbrick's line. That's the line coming from South Bend. That doesn't mean that there weren't things that Kelly wanted. There's been significant reporting that he did think the facilities were just a cut below some of the best facilities in the country, and he wanted more from Notre Dame in that sense. But again, Swarbrick said that Kelly never had a conversation with him where he really emphasized upgrade the facilities or I'm out of here.
How should Brian Kelly be remembered by Notre Dame and Notre Dame fans?
Yeah, I mean, I think Brian Kelly said it when he passed Newt Rockne back in September. He said he's going to be remembered as the coach who won a lot of games and won zero championships. And I think that's pretty much the legacy that he leaves now, obviously leaving right before the playoffs. Does kind of color the way some people will remember him, although there is a case he made that if he had waited till after the playoff was over, there wouldn't have been any jobs available. It did seem like he wanted a new challenge. But yes, I think that he can be remembered as the coach who, for the first time in 25 years, made Notre Dame relevant on the national scene on a consistent basis. but wasn't able to take that final step. Now, a significant part of Kelly's legacy will likely end up being contingent on what comes next. Do they take that next step, or do they go back to being 8-4 on a regular basis as they were before Brian Kelly took over?
It is a better job now than when Brian Kelly took over, and I think in many ways Notre Dame fans should be thankful to Brian Kelly for that, because I think they can end up with a better coach who will take Notre Dame maybe a more legitimately because of the position they're in nationally right now, and a lot of that credit does have to go to Brian Kelly. Did Jack Swarbrick talk about whether there was ever an opportunity for Notre Dame to make a pitch to try to compete with LSU's offer?
He explicitly said the answer to that question is no. He said that Brian Kelly called him late last night, informed him he was resigning his position and taking the LSU job, and he said that, quite frankly, he appreciated that. He said that Kelly did not ask him to match, didn't do anything like that, and they talked for a few minutes. Swarbrick expressed his gratification to Kelly and vice versa, and that was pretty. And they discussed some logistics of how he would address the team in the morning. But outside of that, that was pretty much it. There was no, hey, they're offering me X, can you match it? If you will, I'll stay. Anyway, there wasn't any of that in the conversation.
What did we learn about where Notre Dame goes from here?
Not a whole lot, quite frankly. Even the news that we assumed was coming this morning, which was the announcement of an interim coach, did not happen. Jack Swarbrick said that they might not even appoint an interim coach because he thinks the staff works so well as it is right now. Everyone knows their roles. But he said basically he doesn't have a list of candidates at the ready at all times. He only has a list of characteristics that he thinks make up a good Notre Dame coach. The one thing that does seem relatively certain is that Marcus Freeman and possibly Tommy Rees will get looks as head coaching candidates, and that will have to happen here extremely quickly because Brian Kelly has already asked both of them to join him at LSU for significant pay raises on their current salaries. So that's going to have to happen pretty quickly here. If either of them is a candidate, we'll know it within in the next few days.
Marcus Freeman seems to be the wild card here because Notre Dame fans kind of fell in love with this defense, especially late in the season. It was pretty dynamic, and that's a lot of the credit goes to Marcus Freeman for that. Tommy Rees is a Notre Dame guy. It's going to be hard to pick between the two.
Yeah, and it's not even clear whether Swarbrick is considering either of them. He didn't say anything about whether they would hire from within. The one thing we do know is they have had success with internal hires in recent years. Tommy Rees was an internal hire after Chip Long left as offensive coordinator. Marcus Freeman's predecessor, Clark Lee, was also an internal hire, promoted from linebackers coach to defensive coordinator. So they've done internal hires in the recent past. They've had success with them. We'll see whether they try that again. But they're going to be patient on this search. He said there's really no timetable for hiring a coach. They're not going to rush because of National Signing Day on December 15th or anything like that. They're going to find their guy. If it's Freeman, we'll know pretty soon here, because otherwise he'll probably join Kelly at LSU.
And, of course, he had the opportunity to take that LSU job, that same job, when about a year ago he decided he would rather coach with Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. So it would be very logical that if he's not the head coach at Notre Dame, he's going to be a defensive coordinator down in Baton Rouge. All right, so let's talk about Brian Kelly and I guess how this came down. There's been a lot of different, I don't know if it's confusion, but a lot of different reports on, was he in a recruit's house? Was he out off campus? What, I mean, I can't imagine he was out recruiting if he knew that he had already taken the LSU job, but what exactly, do you know any of the details as far as how this leaked and how this went down? You did say that he told Jack Swarbrick late last night, but Dylan, I knew before late last night.
Right, and I think I would expect that Jack Swarbrick knew when Brian Kelly called him, this is the call, that he's going to let me know. But basically, we don't really know a whole lot about what Brian Kelly was doing yesterday. This does seem to have come together fairly quickly because it seemed as though there was reporting that LSU was targeting Lincoln Riley before Lincoln Riley took the Oklahoma job, and then they kind of went to Kelly as their next option. This came together very, very quickly. There was a quote from an assistant coach at Notre Dame. It's unclear who. He's not put his name on this quote, but he did say that he was just leaving a recruit's house when the news broke, and he said he felt bad for leaving in that manner and not really knowing what was going on. He used some stronger language than that. But yes, it does seem like there were some Notre Dame coaches out on the road recruiting. Jack Swarbrick said he told them to stay out on the road, keep doing what they were doing, just kind of try to remain as normal as possible in the next several days here as the Irish try to figure out where they go next.
Has there been a reaction from players? Any word as far as what the players are going to do in this situation?
Yeah, there have been a couple of messages that have been really at the forefront today. The main one is that they want to stay focused on winning the national championship this season, which has been the goal all along. But there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of animosity toward Brian Kelly. There's several players who tweeted about, it's a business, we understand, just got to stay focused. And several of them on the player podcast they have, Kyle Hamilton and several of his teammates have a podcast where they talk about the program, and they said this morning that they kind of wanted to tamp down the narrative that there's going to be a rush to the exit for Notre Dame players and recruits because all four of them said, we didn't come here to play for Brian Kelly, we came here to play at Notre Dame. And so they said, we're not mad at Coach Kelly, he had to do what he had to do, but we don't plan on leaving.
Dylan, appreciate it, and we'll keep in touch with you as new reports develop, but we appreciate you jumping on with us.
Absolutely, Brent. Always glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
Yep, Dylan Sin joining us from the Journal-Gazette on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix. 4 to 6, Brett Rump, Caleb Hatch. Coming up in our next hour, Dustin Dopierak will talk Indiana basketball. Hoosiers taking on Syracuse in the Big Ten ACC Challenge coming up later tonight. He'll join us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline at 5:20. You know, when big events come to Indianapolis, big games, I should say, they become huge events. And a lot of the reason for that and why Indianapolis has truly become a destination city for some of the biggest sports events we have in this country is because of the Indy Sports Corp. And they're at it again because coming up this Saturday, it's the Big Ten Championship game with Michigan and Iowa. And you don't have to be a Michigan fan. You don't have to be an Iowa fan to enjoy so many of the festivities that are happening in downtown Indianapolis this weekend. And to talk about it from Indy Sports Corp, we have the director of PR joining us right now on our Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. It is Brett Kramer. Brett, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. It's great to talk with you today.
You guys do such incredible work down in Indianapolis and have such a great reputation for how you take something as simple as a big game and turn it into a massive event. And you've been at it for a while. What is this Indy Sports Corp? Just take me inside Indy Sports Corp. Who is it? What is it? And how does this type of thing happen?
Well, thank you so much for those kind words. We are the local sports commission down in Indianapolis, and our mission is to advance and inspire the community through sports. And sometimes that's bringing in the Big Ten football championship game or all of March Madness to our city, but sometimes that's just hosting local events and runs and impacting youth through our community. So you're right. Whenever we have an event, no matter how big or small, we really think about all the ways in which we can make it a community event and have community impact. And that's something that we really strive to do here to not only benefit Indianapolis, but really the entire statewide reputation of Indiana.
I know so many people here in Fort Wayne love to just take the quick jump down to Indianapolis to fill time on the weekend and to find activities and fun things to do. With this game, like I said, you don't have to be a Michigan or Iowa fan, because one of the big events that's going to be happening this weekend is the Big Ten Fan Fest presented by Dr. Pepper. Love to know exactly what is it, who is it for, and what are the details?
Yeah, the Fan Fest, which will be taking place on Friday and Saturday, is an event that's open to the public. It's $8 for adults and $4 for youth. And if you do have a ticket to the game, you can get in for free. And the really point, it's 200,000 square feet of just fun inside the Indiana Convention Center. There's everything from an opportunity to kick a field goal, to shooting some hoops, to running a 40-yard dash. There's some food and beverages for the adults. It's just a lot of fun for people that love sports, love activities, but really just love coming downtown and having a really good time. So we're really excited to have the doors open for Fan Fest from 5 to 9 on Friday, and then 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday.
Take me inside, for those of us that haven't necessarily been down there for one of these big events, what is it like in downtown Indianapolis when something like the Big Ten Championship game comes into town?
Oh, it's a great time. The restaurants are full, the streets are lively, the hotels are in action, and the best part about Indy is that you can park the car and literally walk to everywhere that you need to go. And the great part about our setup with the convention center right next to Georgia Street, where we'll have some outdoor tailgating, it's all walking distance to Lucas Oil Stadium and local bars and restaurants. So that's kind of what you can expect, a very lively atmosphere. Not everybody downtown is going to be a Michigan or an Iowa fan. We'll also have the Purdue fans, the IU fans, shoot, even Michigan State. They come from a little bit of everywhere just to celebrate the Big Ten and Big Ten football and really just kind of have a good time again downtown.
And so fans that want to make the trip down to Indy this weekend, it is Friday night from 5 to 9. It is all day Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. leading up to the game. And it is at the Indiana Convention Center. So many different things to take part in and participate in. It's a fun event. And I assume this is something that's really designed for families of all ages.
Yes, absolutely. You have 5-year-olds out there running the 40-yard dash, but you also have 60-year-olds out there running the 40-yard dash. So it's really kind of brings out the kid in everyone. And it's just a great way to kind of have some fun, try out some new sports. Shoot, there's hockey, there's baseball, there's a little bit of everything. They try to really take all the mainstream sports and kind of create some kind of activation surrounding them. And then once again, if you just want to hang out, watch the other football games that are going on throughout the day and just hang out with your buddies or hang out with your family, it's the perfect environment to do so.
Sounds like it'll be fantastic and a great weekend down in Indianapolis. We're excited because we've got actually a 4-pack of tickets that we're going to be giving away here in just a couple of minutes. But good luck with it this weekend. Again, congratulations and a big salute to the great job Indy Sports Corp does on all these events. It's built such a great national reputation, and it wouldn't be that way without you. So thanks again for your time, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
That is Brett Kramer joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline from the Indy Sports Corp. Coming up this weekend, Big Ten Championship game. A lot of Michigan people on my social media are looking for tickets. You know, we should do a Sports Rush ticket exchange. We should just let people call in, tell us where they got tickets, how much they want, and then have somebody call in and buy them. We can take a 10% cut, Caleb, I think. Does that sound fair? Does that sound like it would be a good idea?
Yeah, a 10% cut. I mean, for some of these tickets, you're talking, you know, $10, $20 a ticket, probably even a lot more.
We'd be doing okay by Saturday. But we've got a 4-pack of tickets to go down and be part of the Big Ten Fan Fest this weekend, whether it's Friday night, whether it's sometime on Saturday. If you've never been part of a big-time event in downtown Indianapolis, this might be your chance to do it. You don't have to have a ticket to the game, but we've got your tickets to the Fan Fest. And if you'd like to win, all you have to do right now is be caller number 3. Caller number 3 at 447-8500, and we'll give you those 4 tickets to the Big Ten Fan Fest this weekend. Caller number 3, 447-8500. Call now. You can win from the Sports Rush. And a big thanks to our friends at the Indy Sports Corp for providing these tickets for us to give away. That is the Big Ten Fan Fest, Friday 5 to 9, Saturday 10 to 8. Call now. Win tickets. Caller number 3, 447-8500. Big news of the day, Brian Kelly has left Notre Dame. He is taking the job down at LSU. Great conversation with Dylan Sin about what we learned from Jack Swarbrick. I thought it was interesting. There was no negotiation, or there was not an opportunity for Notre Dame to negotiate at all. Brian Kelly made the decision. He was leaving. He didn't ask Notre Dame to counter. He didn't look for more money out of Notre Dame. So it was clearly a decision that Brian Kelly felt he had a better chance to maybe win that national title, that elusive national title, by going and playing in SEC country with the LSU Tigers. Who got the better hire? There's the question for the day right now. USC getting Lincoln Riley out of Oklahoma, or LSU getting Brian Kelly? You heard Dylan say he thought that Brian Kelly was the second option for LSU. But who do you think ended up with the better hire? USC with Lincoln Riley or LSU with Brian Kelly? Let us know on our Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. That's 46862. Once again, keeping an eye on our text line as far as comments that have come in so far. We mentioned a couple of them earlier. Freeman would be the smooth transition. That's what the players and the alumni want. Do they? Is that who they want? Is Marcus Freeman to take over the program and become the next head coach for Notre Dame? Not sure. Maybe. Possibly. I think that Notre Dame fans don't want to see Marcus Freeman get away because he did such a good job. They want to keep him in-house, and they probably feel the only way to keep him is to make him the head coach. Who would be top candidates? That's what we haven't got so far on the text line. Who would be your top candidates to take over at Notre Dame? 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Do we have a winner yet, Caleb?
We do. Congrats to Wes. He is going down to Indy this weekend. We'll take part in the Fan Fest.
Have you been down there for any of the events, the Super Bowl, the national championships they've held for college basketball? Or
I've been down for like Final Four and Super Bowl. I mean, I didn't attend, you know, the games.
No, but just the buzz downtown.
Whenever the Final Four is here, it's a big deal. When the Super Bowl was in Indy, it was wild because it was actually nice pretty much all week up until the day of the game.
Like 60s all week, and then just all of a sudden the temperatures plummeted into like the 20s and 30s. Did you do the zip line?
I did not. Did not do the zip line.
That was the big thing for the Super Bowl. Outside, they had that zip line. They did offer at the time for media to get an opportunity to come down and do the zip line. I declined. I would have been in traction for who knows how long if I'd have taken the zip line. I don't think they have a zip line at the Big Ten Fan Fest, but they've got a lot of other great events going on. That is coming up this Friday night and Saturday, all day Saturday, ahead of Michigan versus Iowa. And of course, we'll talk more about the Big Ten Championship game coming up later this week here on the Sports Rush. Hey, a reminder that it is a Comet Christmas here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. What that means is you can register for a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Comets game by going to 1380thefan.com, or you can simply text Comets to 46862. Now, that is Comets, K-O-M-E-T-S. Comets like the Fort Wayne Comets, K-O-M-E-T-S. Text Comets to 46862 and then get yourself registered. Each day we will randomly select one winner. We'll announce it here on the Sports Rush, and we'll do it all through December. We'll start that off tomorrow. So you want to register now so you can be part of the very first pick. Because you know what, Caleb? When you do a contest like this, getting in early means there's fewer people you have to beat to get picked. You know, as you go through the month, there's going to be more and more people added to the pool, and it's going to be tougher to win. So right now is the time to get registered. 1380thefan.com. Get signed up for Comets Christmas. Four packs of tickets every day, all month, right here at 1380 The Fan. Still coming up on our show, Dustin Dupirak. We're going to talk college basketball. Big night coming up tonight with Syracuse hosting the Indiana Hoosiers. We'll get a preview of what to expect from Indiana on the road for the first time from Dustin Dupirak coming up at 5:20 this afternoon. Also, 6 o'clock, we've got the Mastodons Coaches Show. It is live at the Holiday Inn right across from Memorial Coliseum. You're invited to come out and be a part of the show. You can just hang out and meet both men's basketball coach John Kaufman and women's basketball coach Maria Marcassano. They'll be our guests on the show tonight. You can listen here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. But it will go from 6 to 7 o'clock. Always great to see some folks stop by when we do the coaches shows. I'll be out there hosting it. The Mastodons Coaches Show every week, Tuesday night, 6 to 7, presented by Diamond Residential Mortgage. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Plenty more ahead. Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Couple of early hires at big-time college football programs. USC has hired former Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley. And now we have Brian Kelly from Notre Dame going down to LSU. Who got the better hire? 46862. Already got a text, said Riley, slam dunk. Kelly will not last. 46862. What are your thoughts? Also, who do you want as the next coach at Notre Dame? And we get the text, Tom Allen. or some laughing emojis too. Obviously, that is a sarcastic response to the question, who do you think should be the next coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish? 46862. Coming up on the show, we'll talk Indiana basketball. They're getting set to take on Syracuse tonight in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. First road game for the Hoosiers. Dustin Dopierak will give us a preview coming up at about 5:20. Also, a reminder, coming up Friday, we've got high school basketball. We have turned the page. Football season officially over, so now it's time for Friday nights of high school hoops. We've got the Carroll Chargers visiting the Homestead Spartans. Boys action this Friday, 7:30, live from Homestead. We'll have all the play-by-play coverage just ahead of the Parkview Sports Medicine post-game show live from the Coventry Pizza Hut. That comes up this Friday here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM, presented by Indiana Physical Therapy.
Podcasts by Federated Media.